This is Andy Griffith. A few years back, Jenkins, Indiana was just another quiet Midwestern town. A lot of folks had jobs in the big automobile plant, and those who didn't made their living off those who did. But in the past few years, there have been some dramatic changes in Jenkins. Tonight, as the people gather for a town meeting on the eve of the local elections, Jessica Dean, a freelance television reporter, is setting up her camera. This night marks the homecoming for Jessica, who is about to find out just how different things are in her hometown.
Sit still, Dr. Strickland.
Call me Howard.
I don't have a cameraman, so I've locked the camera in position on the tripod.
You have beautiful hands.
Look into the lens, Dr. Strickland.
Howard.
Now look relaxed. I'm switching it on. I'm talking with Dr. Howard Strickland of the Crisis Observation Administration in Washington.
I'd like to add that the title doctor refers to my Ph.D. in sociology with a strong background in economics and psychology.
Of course. What brings you to Jenkins, Indiana?
I'm what you might call one of the O&I boys.
O&I boys?
Observe and identify. I've been watching the economic deterioration in Jenkins for 3 months now.
What, if anything, have you discovered?
We're in a classic Type M economics collapse, Jessica. Last year, Jenkins, one major employer, the auto factory, closed down. This year, as unemployment benefits dwindle to nothing, large numbers of people are leaving town looking for jobs, which, of course, pushes the local economy inevitably toward collapse.
That's a pretty bleak picture, Doctor.
I'd like to call them as I see them.
What do you plan to do to help Jenkins?
Nothing.
Did I understand you correctly?
It's not my job to do anything.
I see. Then what do you think will happen to Jenkins?
Jessica, let me be blunt. I don't have any kind of crystal ball, but I have seen this same situation time and again. Now, unless the blue skies open up and a heavenly host descends from the clouds bearing celestial care packages, this town of Jenkins will simply cease to exist.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Three Mayors of Middleville, by Michael Utvich. Our stars, Carol Bilger and Jack Bannon.
It looks like things are getting pretty serious for the people of Jenkins. What with no jobs in town and people leaving every day, it looks like the town might just dry up any minute. Tonight, folks are gathered to hear the candidates for mayor run their spiel. Only one small problem. There's only one candidate, and he's the incumbent, the Honorable Grover Benson.
Thank you, Dr. Strickland. This is Jessica Dean reporting. Okay, we're off now.
Jessica, I've got to say a few words to the meeting, but after that, what say you and I take a dinner?
No, Dr. Strickland.
Howard, please.
I have to set up my camera for the mayor's speech.
Well, there's no story here. Benson's running unopposed.
Let's say I have a hunch, Dr. Strickland.
Howard. Look, you can take my word for it. Jenkins is a one-horse town on the way down. My statistics can prove it.
It's also my hometown.
Those are the breaks. How about dinner?
You're standing on my tripod, Dr. Strickland.
How many times do I have to tell you? Howard.
Jessica?
It can't be. BJ?
BJ Carson, at your service, fair lady.
Oh, BJ, are you a sight for sore eyes?
Now, wait a minute. Who's this clown?
An old flame, Howard. Now hit the road.
That's telling him, Jess. Say, where'd you learn to talk like that?
In New York. Everybody talks like that in New York.
A woman of the world. Let's hear it for the enterprising young lady from Jenkins, Indiana. What brings you back to visit us bumpkins?
Oh, stop it, BJ. To be honest, I was homesick for the old stomping ground. But I never thought I'd catch up with the first love of my life.
You're making me blush.
Well, stop blushing and tell me what you've been up to.
Funny you should ask. After matriculating at high school, I decided to go to the Big Apple and become an artist. Then the siren song of National Motors seduced me.
You signed on at the factory.
You got it. And I quickly discovered that working on the line did not end my career as an artist. I began making inspired rearview mirrors.
Oh, I'm sure they were unique.
Well, not only were they unique, but each one was exactly the same and signed by the artist.
Oh, you're kidding.
Hmm. At this very moment, there are thousands of privileged automobiles which wear a genuine B.J. Carson rearview mirror.
Well, it must add to the resale.
Oh, that it does. But my rearview mirror career was cut short when I was promoted to computer trainee.
Ooh, that sounds impressive.
It was. They decided to close down the factory 1 week later.
Leaving you high and dry.
Well, I've had a lot of time to reflect. And I've discovered that the biggest problem with unemployment is that you never get a day off.
You haven't changed a bit, BJ.
But enough about me. What have you been up to in that great world out there?
Struggling to make it as a TV reporter. Accent on struggle.
You making any headway?
Well, right now, I'm looking for a trend to sell to Elton Kingsley.
The Elton Kingsley? His Highness of the Evening News?
The same.
Isn't Elton a tough egg to crack?
Well, I know he loves trends. Anything that looks, feels, sounds, or tastes like a trend, he loves.
You want a trend? I'll give you a trend. Imagine this. Picture. Me lying on the ground barefoot. Sound. You saying, poor B.J. Carson. Hocked his socks to pay for food. All across the nation, sock hawkers are appearing in every walk of life.
You know, I could use a cameraman. Are you interested?
I'm always interested.
Well, it's not as artistic as making rearview mirrors, and I can't afford to pay you anything, but you'll get experience.
That's the story of my life. I work for nothing, and I have lots of experience at it.
I don't believe it. BJ, is that man standing at the podium?
None other than the Honorable Grover Benson, mayor of our little burg for the past 16 years and going for 20.
I can't believe no one is even running against him.
Well, things are falling apart and the center isn't holding. Who else wants to take the heat?
Testing.
Now it's time for the speech.
You know what he's going to say.
Word by word. Starts with friends, my very good friends and neighbors.
Friends. My very good friends and neighbors, once again, election time is upon us, and once again, I can feel each and every one of you is asking yourselves, why should I vote for Grover Benson for mayor?
The answer, because you never had it so good.
The answer, because you never had it so good. Now, I'll admit, we've had a few setbacks once in a while, but if you don't think it's a privilege to live in Jenkins, Indiana...
Go ask the folks who live in the Soviet Union.
Go ask the folks who live in the Soviet Union. And they'll tell you how lucky you are to be both a Hoosier and an American.
It's the same every year, every beat.
This year, I have a surprise.
I think I'm going to faint.
Dr. Howard Strickland has come all the way from Washington, D.C. to talk to you tonight. I've been fighting at the top levels of our government for more money, more jobs, and more progress for Jenkins. Dr. Strickland, you want to say a few words.
Thank you, Mayor Benson. I'd just like to say that I don't have a lot to say to you. I've been looking over the economic situation in Jenkins, and it's pretty much like a lot of other economic situations around this country. Speaking for the government, and of course for myself, I'd like to say that I think what is happening to Jenkins is just terrible. Terrible. Thank you.
Where did they dig him up?
Under a rock someplace.
Look, BJ, it looks like we're going to have a protest. Get a shot of that woman in jeans and work boots.
Thank you, Dr. Strickland.
Stop right there!
I don't believe this. She's going up to the podium.
This is
going
to be a good one.
You know her?
Let's say I know of her. And I'd sooner be in the ring with the heavyweight champion of the world than cross her. Name's Betty Lee.
Now, Betty, go back and sit down. Let's... There's a question and answer session at the end of the program.
Quiet, Grover. I've got something to say. Now, get.
Now, give me the microphone,
Lay
Betty.
Lay one hand on me, Grover, and it's going to get bit.
You're out of order. Ouch!
Now, go sit down till I'm finished.
You really bit me.
And there's more where that came from. Understand? Now, listen up, everybody. My name's Betty Lee, and I own a chicken ranch down on Route 4. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm sick and tired of listening to Grover here run the same speech every 4 years and then sit back and mess up everything in between. We've all known for a long time that Grover is an incompetent, but up to now it didn't matter all that much. Today it's do or die. We either fight for this town or we're gonna lose it. And there isn't any government that's gonna bail us out. The only business the government is in is hiring the mentally handicapped. So my great-granddad settled here over 100 years ago, there wasn't any government. There wasn't any Arabs hiking up the price of oil because there wasn't any factories turning out cars that burned up oil. And to my way of thinking, that was a better world than the one we got now.
Betty, Betty, this has gone far enough.
I haven't finished speaking my piece yet, Grover.
Just give me the mic. Friends, neighbors, ouch!
Now sit down.
Whoever she is, she's got the crowd with her.
Well, stay tuned. Betty Lee's noted for surprises.
The way I see it, we can either toss out all this newfangled stuff and go back to living like our ancestors did, or we can kiss this town goodbye. And if you feel like I do, write in Betty Lee on your ballot tomorrow. Yay! Write me in on your ballot. Betty Lee for mayor.
Yay! It's perfect.
It's crazy and desperate and a lot of other things, too.
No, BJ, it's a perfect story.
I don't follow.
A town elects a woman mayor to lead them back into the 19th century. That is a perfect story.
It sounds insane to me.
Right in, Betty Lee! We'll make it without technology! Yes!
This is it. If she wins, I'm on my way to New York.
You got a pretty wild look in your eye, Jess.
Elton Kingsley is going to love this.
Right in, Betty Lee! We'll make it without technology!
Convinced that the election in Jenkins has the makings of an all-American featured story, Jessica has taken her videotapes to New York City, and in a very short time, she's managed to get into a meeting with the powerful anchorman, Elton Kingsley.
Get out of my office!
Please come down off your desk, Mr. Kingsley. I didn't mean to startle you.
My nerves are extremely delicate, Miss...
Dean.
Whatever. You came charging in here like a runaway locomotive.
I'm really sorry. It won't happen again.
You're correct, Miss Dean. It won't happen again. The next time you attempt it, my secretary will have taken karate. Good day.
Oh, Mr. Kingsley, please hear me out. I have a story this time that's too good for you to pass up.
What did you say your name was?
Jessica Dean.
Miss Dean, I do remember you. The last time you cannonballed into my office, you were peddling some yarn about a cult of the psychic seal.
It was the Society of the Seal.
And this time you come in with the tale of a little Indiana town that just elected a woman chicken farmer as its mayor.
It's not that simple.
Miss Dean, how do you think I got where I am today?
Intelligence. Hard work? Perseverance? Genius. Genius.
Genius of a very special kind, Miss Dean. I have the ability to feel what America is feeling in the very marrow of my bones. I share sympathetic vibrations with the national spirit, you might say.
I had no idea.
35 million people watch me every evening. They think of me as a family friend, a trusted associate, a favorite uncle, because I know who they are better than they do.
It must be a truly profound communion, sir.
Oh, that it is. Because I sense the news before it happens. I do not need flaky woman reporters pestering me in my office. Good day, Miss Dean.
That's it, of course. Mr. Kingsley, sit down.
Young woman, have you taken leave of your senses?
No, just sit down and close your eyes and feel this story take possession of you. Imagine a small Midwestern town, an auto plant closing down. No jobs, no money. Suddenly, a savior.
A savior?
A woman rises to lead the people back. Yes, back to the days of their forepersons. She spurns the false ways of technology, gadgets, and waste. Instead, she leads her flock to the simple life of the past, to self-reliance.
I can see it. It's like a TV movie.
Oh, but it's not a TV movie. It's not any kind of movie. It's reality, and it's happening in Jenkins, Indiana.
Middleville, America, leading the march to the future.
The pioneer spirit reborn.
That's it! A new generation of lusty, brawling pilgrims rises to build a new Middleville.
You like it?
Like it. I love it, Miss Dean. I want to see more.
Listen to this. The mayor's victory speech.
Okay, everybody. We're all in this together. We're going to grow our own food, make our own clothes. We're going to do it on our own.
Jessica, over here.
He bought it, BJ. He wants daily reports.
Yeah? So he really thinks he landed a big, fat, juicy trend.
Oh, more than a trend. Oh, how did he put it?
I wouldn't want to guess.
He said the story was heartbeats from the heartland. Middleville searches for the promised land.
You mean they pay him money to think of this stuff?
Okay, he's a bit of a blowhard. But I've got a job. We've got a job, cameraman.
We better get back to Jenkins real quick.
Some new developments?
Well, let's just say there are some pretty strange noises coming out of the city hall.
This cannot be happening.
Believe me, it is.
There are 25 major classifications of economic disaster in my handbook.
So what?
None of them fit this town. That woman has created a unique situation. Never has a town successfully fought back from a Type M depression.
Grover?
Oh, yes, yes, Your Honor, Betty.
Wait a minute. Howard, I thought I told you to hit the road back to Washington.
You can't tell me to do anything.
I know, and that's why I want you to scram.
You'll be hearing from my superiors.
Oh, so that's the game. Running back to Daddy?
Now, wait a minute.
Grover, take a letter.
I can't find it.
Well, what's the hang-up?
I think your chickens ate my steno pad.
I'll find another one.
Is there any way we could get rid of the chickens, Your Honor? I mean, maybe put them outside or in a coop.
Look, Grover, as long as I have to work in this flea-bitten city hall of yours, my chickens come with me. If I'm not around, they don't lay half as many eggs. And these days, we're going to need as
many eggs
as
we
can
get. Why don't we put them in another room?
Remember, Grover, I've got a generous heart. Letting you work here as my secretary. Don't push it.
I found some papers.
Good. Now, I want a notice to go out to everyone regarding spring planting.
I sent those out to the farm families.
No, Grover, no. Everybody plants this year.
I don't follow.
Front yards, backyards, any piece of land that's lying free is going to be planted.
You mean I have to tear up my lawn?
Yes, and if it isn't planted, it's grazing cattle or sheep or keeping hogs.
Hogs?
Yes, hogs. Now, I'm going over and supervise the plowing of the golf course.
What?
There's a lot of good farmland going to waste so that a few fat cats can play a stupid game.
But...
It'll do this town a lot more good planted full of soybeans. Now, I'll be seeing you later.
No, BJ, the mayor's not here. She's out.
Hold on to yourself, Grover.
She's plowing under the golf course. All 18 holes.
Did she say anything?
Yes. She wants to plant it full of soybeans. Why don't you just clam up, you filthy bird?
Look, Grover, I need to know what's happening in Jenkins. What is the mayor doing to make her plan a reality?
Sit down. I'll make you a list.
Are you sure you're okay, Grover?
Yeah, I'll be all right. Just between you and me, I have a little liquid fortitude in my bottom drawer. Would you like some?
Sure.
The little town of Jenkins, Indiana, moved one step closer today to completely severing its ties with the 20th century. Jessica Dean reports.
The big trucks were moving out of Jenkins today, and with them are going what may be the last vestiges of modern civilization. Major appliances, minor appliances, conveniences of every shape and description are being sold to second-hand dealers in neighboring cities. The resulting monies will be used to buy cattle, sheep, and hogs. The architect of the Back to Basics movement, Jenkins Mayor Betty Lee, has even convinced the people to give up their automobiles. Beginning tomorrow, horses and buggies will take the place of the compacts and gas guzzlers parked around town. And here lies the irony. That a town which only 3 years ago was producing thousands of automobiles a day should be the first place in the nation to give up the automotive habit. But when the last car rolls out of town, there will be many shaking their heads and wondering, what's next? This is Jessica Dean in Jenkins, Indiana.
been more than 2 months now since the people of Jenkins began their experiment in real old-fashioned living. To the surprise of everyone, the experiment looks to be a smashing success, and Elton Kingsley is wasting no time telling the world all about it.
Tonight's editorial, Pioneers in Paradise. There are those who say that the lusty, brawling, passionate spirit of the American plains is a thing of the past. Gone. Finito. Let those carping curmudgeons rest their eyes on the gutsy little hamlet of Jenkins, Indiana. There, the polluted air of the 20th century has been blown away by strong, self-reliant gusts from the past. Here in the very bosom of modern times, we find horses instead of automobiles, gardens instead of supermarkets, and wheat fields instead of golf courses. This bespeaks the sinewed character of the persons who built this great land, and as an expert on the American national spirit, I say bravo! To you, pioneers, bravo!
You, Elton, are but a fatuous pain in the...
B.J.
Well, he gets up there with his big editorial. Have you ever noticed that during his editorial, Elton looks exactly like an inflated tomato?
B.J., what's gotten into you?
I don't know. Resentment, maybe. Yes, for sure. It's resentment, all right.
Resentment? You resent Elton?
Well, it's easy for him to sit on his tank in New York and talk about the pioneer spirit and that type of junk.
I don't see the problem.
He's using us. He's using Jenkins, and I don't like it.
Relax, B.J. Elton just isn't that important.
Oh, yeah?
Believe me, when Elton Kingsley talks, nobody really listens. Now, come on, we've got some interviews to do.
The mayor is in the basement rehearsing the band.
Oh, you're joking, Grover.
As she was leaving, she said, I'm going to teach that band to play My Country Tis of Thee or Know the Reason Why.
Are they learning it?
I can only hope that she's finally met her match.
Everything else in Jenkins is working just fine.
And doesn't she know it? Every other word she says is, I told you this, I told you that.
Credit where credit is due, don't you think?
Well, to hear Betty run on, you'd think this was some kind of utopia.
Isn't it?
Not since she... plowed up the golf course, it isn't. And as for her damn chickens...
Oh, never mind. Hey, Grover, do you hear something strange?
There it is. A little louder.
That's just Howard.
You're not going to believe this, but not one of my guidelines has any meaning here. This town has gone completely out of control.
That's ridiculous, Howard.
Oh, yeah? Who are you to say anything about anything? Do you have a Ph.D. in sociology?
No, but I've got a master's in hard knocks.
B.J. and I have been interviewing people around town for the past 2 months.
People are living without fossil fuels.
They're not polluting their environment.
They're raising their own food. They're making their own clothes.
Which means people are not as vulnerable to inflationary pressures.
Not to mention the sense of psychological well-being derived from living a simple life closer to nature.
Hold it, hold it. That's great. All of what you said.
Well, then I'm sorry, but I don't see any problem.
All of those things play hell with my guidelines.
So, trash your guidelines.
Trash the guidelines, he says. If we didn't have guidelines, the government would vanish overnight. American democracy is built on guidelines. According to my guidelines, this town should have gone belly up 3 weeks ago.
Let me get this straight.
Do me a favor. You go and pester that weird mayor. I'm in a state of shock.
Mayor Betty, Your Honor, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Yes?
Mayor, what's the secret of your success?
I'm a fighter. You don't have to teach me about struggle.
Do you think the people of Jenkins have done well adjusting to their new lifestyle?
They've done just fine. All they needed was a good, swift kick where it hurts to get them going. Well, I have to spill the hog.
Our interview isn't finished yet, Your Honor. Your Honor!
Don't tell me. You just won the Irish sweepstakes.
Of course not. I just got a letter from Elton.
Now, that isn't anything to get excited about.
B.J., he's promoting me to full correspondent.
Oh, yeah?
I'm assigned to the New York Bureau.
Oh, that's great, Jess.
Oh, Oh, BJ, we'll have to be apart, but I'll come back every time I can.
Don't worry about it. You got your career to think about.
I really mean it.
Hmm. Now that you're leaving, who's going to cover the Jenkins story?
Elton.
Don't make jokes, Jess.
I'm not joking. Elton is going to do his nightly report from Jenkins, starting tomorrow night.
That's just great.
Well, what's your problem?
You. You and that sanctimonious hunk of baloney you call a boss.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Why should you care, Jess? You got the story that took you into the big time, and Elton got a nightly 3-minute freak show for his hack report.
Oh, you're not being fair, BJ.
You thought it was a piece of weirdness, but the people of this town made it work. They worked damn hard to save this town.
Please, BJ,
So now Uncle Elton is bringing his little kitty show to town. If he doesn't turn Jenkins into a circus, he'll try to take credit for everything the people of Jenkins worked for.
Oh, I suppose you think that bohunk virago of a mayor is just great, don't you?
You mean Betty Lee?
I do. The head schlockatola of the Revolutionary Republic of Middleville.
Okay, Betty's a little eccentric.
From what I can see, Betty's got a lot of room to let in her attic.
Look at all the stuff she's achieved.
And she could lose it all if she wastes her time trying to teach a bunch of tone-deaf kids to play My Country Tis of Thee.
She told me it's her theme song.
It could be her swan song for all I care. All I know is that I have a career waiting in New York.
Okay. If that's it, so long, Jess.
I love you, BJ. Goodbye.
And I love you too, Jess. Slow down, Howard. What's this all about?
Grover wants you.
That was a car. We haven't had a car in town in over a month.
Well, brace yourself, because there are a lot more of them down by City Hall.
Now stop talking nonsense, Howard. What's all this about?
You want it in black and white? This town is being invaded.
There's another one.
There are also 16 motorhomes, and I don't know how many pickup trucks with trailers.
And there's a couple more.
It looks like every one of them is filled with 25 immigrants looking for the Promised Land.
Elton's behind this.
As far as I'm concerned, the Promised Land is anywhere but here. I can't take this anymore.
But you can't leave, Howard. Not now.
Watch me. Goodbye. Been nice knowing you. Go see Grover at City Hall. He needs you.
Grover?
I loathe chickens.
Grover, we've got to do something.
I shall rid the earth of chickens.
There are hundreds of people out there.
Hold, chicken! Thou and I shall meet in mortal combat on the field of Mars.
Come on, Grover. Try to hold it together, please. These people are looking for paradise.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of The Three Mayors of Middleville. You know, if you let some folks get a whiff of paradise, they'll do more than beat a path to your door. Now, there are several hundred would-be immigrants camped in the wheat fields around Jenkins City Hall, and the Elton Kingsley Report is settling in for a long stay. Somehow it feels like things are just about ready to go out of control. And the only one trying to keep things under control is B.J. Carson.
As I stand amid the waving wheat in Jenkins, Indiana, my ears are joyously assaulted by the spirited sound of a patriotic melody conducted by the mayor of this Midwest utopia. The song might well serve as an anthem for the people of Jenkins who have single-handedly dipped deep into the wellsprings of the American spirit to forge their harvest with their bare hands. Around me are camped the legions of the disaffected, lured to this place by the promise of a simple, hard-working life. Will the people of Jenkins open their arms to these refugees, or is paradise only for the few?
Hello? Grover, are you in here? Grover?
Who's making all that racket out there?
It's me, BJ.
Oh, Grover's friend.
Yes.
Well, then maybe you can tell me where that lazy so-and-so is hiding.
I don't have any idea.
Not much of a loss. You look smart enough. Why don't you take his job?
I don't know the first thing about it.
Oh, neither did he. But you'll learn. Now, I'm going out to lead the band.
Lead the band? Again?
The tourists and the TV folks just lap it up.
Your Honor, some of those people aren't tourists. Some of them want to move in with us.
Nothing like a good band to show your city pride and what all. Tourists just love that oompa stuff.
But you're the mayor, and this is a crisis. Can't you get someone else to lead the band?
I'm the mayor, and I'll do what I please. Now, if anybody wants to know anything, you tell them.
What do I tell them, Your Honor?
Think something up.
This is outrageous.
The mayor just told me a moment ago that she'll be giving shows at 12, 2, and 4:30.
How can I make you understand, young man, that I, Elton Kingsley, wish to interview her personally?
I understand it. The problem is to get Betty to understand.
Let me make it clear that I am not accustomed to waiting while some backwater politician makes up her mind when she will deign to speak with me.
Oh, now what?
I am not going to wait any longer.
Okay, goodbye.
That's all you can say?
So long. Been nice knowing you.
Are you impertinent, young whippersnapper?
Hey, who's in charge here?
I guess I am.
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
Are you aware you interrupted me?
Yes, and I don't care. I've been looking all over town for some straight answers.
I'll do my best.
I'm Sam Melton. Folks outside sort of elected me spokesman.
Wait a minute. You know what all that horn honking is about?
Sure do. Me and a lot of other folks out there have heard all about this place on the TV, and we want to get in on the ground floor.
I was afraid of that.
And there's one other thing.
Shoot.
There's some nut downstairs wearing an army helmet and carrying a rifle. He asked me if I was a chicken.
Chicken? He asked if you were a chicken?
Yeah. Said he's going to get rid of every chicken in the world.
Oh, no. It's Grover.
Missed you. You wipe that smile off your big chicken. You can't hide from me forever. Hold still. I can't rub you out if you keep running all over the place.
Grover, it's me, BJ.
BJ, are you a chicken?
No, Grover, I'm not a chicken.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm your friend, Grover.
Oh, yes. I remember you, BJ.
Now give me the gun, Grover.
But I have to have the gun, BJ.
Please, Grover. I know you've been through a lot.
Stand still! You stand still!
What are you guys doing in my office?
Well, it's about time, Madam Mayor.
I'm just sick and tired of waiting for answers around this joint.
Where do you get off yelling at me like that?
You call that yelling? If you want yelling...
I should advise you, madam, that my patience is at an end.
Well, that's your problem, isn't it?
I am Elton Kingsley.
That's also your problem.
Oh, no. Hey, everybody...
I came here to report on the glorious pioneer struggle.
Struggle? Don't talk to me about struggle.
Now, look, lady, struggle all you want in your own time. I just want some answers.
Hey, everybody...
Madam, you are perhaps the most uncouth specimen of American womanhood. It has been my displeasure to meet
you. I don't need you coming here from New York and telling me how to run my town.
Excuse me, I just want some information. Oh. Like, how can I get rid of both of you?
Quiet, everybody. Now, there's some pretty serious things happening around this town. I think we all better sit down and talk it out.
I'm the mayor of this town, and what I say goes.
You've been acting like a spoiled child and a bully.
Hear, hear.
Now, if you want to go lead the band, do it. But this town needs leadership.
Well, one thing's for sure. All these people in their motorhomes are going to have to hit the road.
My people just want a chance to get in on the good life here. We're willing to pay. Money.
But if there are too many people, we can't grow enough food. That is, unless we decide to expand.
Does no one care what I think?
In a word, no. People hear too much of what you think already.
No, that's the truth.
Madam, you are truly the most despicable creature.
Where does all of this leave us? We want to move in now.
I think I've got a plan.
Would it keep this town like it is? No newfangled foolishness.
Well, not exactly. You see... Hit the deck!
Death! Death to all chickens!
What is the meaning of this?
He doesn't mean it, I don't think. Grover, please. Jessica.
I was getting a little homesick, so I thought I'd come back for a visit.
But you only left 2 weeks ago.
Let's just say that Elton and I had a little falling out.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't been hearing the news about Jenkins.
There's not much to tell.
It's still Elton's little 19th century paradise?
Well, not exactly. For one thing, it's not called Jenkins anymore.
Oh, let me guess. You renamed it Middleville, USA.
Middleville Incorporated.
What?
Well, we had lots of people who wanted to buy in, so we sold. Shares, that is.
You're telling me this town is a corporation?
Exactly.
What happened to the mayor?
Well, let's see. Mayor number one, that's Grover, is taking the cure at Happy Rest Sanitarium.
You mean he went crazy?
Well, it's a long story. It's too long and it's ugly. Mayor number two...
Betty Lee.
...is back raising her chickens, conducting the band, and is planning to open a blacksmith shop.
Oh, I see. But that doesn't tell me who the mayor is.
Well, there really isn't one. But we do have an honorary mayor. I'll introduce you.
B.J., that is a computer.
The heart and soul of Middleville Incorporated.
Is this for real?
Yes, it is. This mayor directs our planning schedules and forecasts markets for our now famous quilts and homespun clothing, not to mention streamlining our tourist processing system.
Tourist processing system?
Well, tourists are our largest single industry and largest source of cash flow.
The pioneer life, computer style.
The computer runs everything, leaving the rest of us free to enjoy the simple life, except me. I run the computer.
Why don't you tell me all about it over coffee?
Are you back to stay this time?
Well, that depends. How much time do you spend with your computer?
Oh, not that much. Come on, love.
We've got a lot of catching up to do.
Tonight's editorial... Paradise Lost. Tonight, I say that the Jenkins experiment has failed. What looked like the realization of a dream from the 19th century has turned out to be the incarnation of a nightmare from the 21st. The computerized commune that now exists in Jenkins would be more at home in the pages of a science fiction novel than in the center of this nation's heartland. So with a tear in our eye, we turn sadly from the experiment that promised a return of the pioneer spirit.
He doesn't quit, that man.
Look, Jess, this is the last TV in town. Maybe it's time to get rid of it. I mean, since you're not going to be a TV reporter anymore.
I just like to tell our side, Middleville's side, without him distorting it.
We got plenty of time for that, Mrs. Carson.
BJ, do you think... No, it's too crazy.
What?
Do you think the computer could write a TV movie?
I wouldn't be surprised.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Three Mayors of Middleville, was written by Michael Utvich and produced and directed by Livia Granito. Your host was Andy Griffin. Our stars were Carol Bilger and Jack Bannon. Featured in the cast were Les Tremaine, William Mims, Elvia Allman, and Byron Kane. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by your local Goodyear service store, where you save during their big store-wide clearance sale.
This is Vincent Price. Same time tomorrow for another of my favorite stories, a tense conflict between good and evil.